All right. Thank you very much, Dan Watkins. Interesting story today that I'd like to break out at this point. United Airlines actually has decided that they're going to, one, first of all, I guess they purchased an airline flight school. Later this year, they intend to enroll up to 5,000 people to become airline pilots in its flight academy by 2030. Now, that's, what, 9 years from now. And aims for half of the students to be women or people of color. United plans to hire 10,000 commercial airline pilots by 2030 to account for growth in a wave of retirements. The airline bought a flight training academy last year, but COVID, I guess they bought it in February. And COVID derailed those plans. Now, United Airlines is starting to accept application for its flight academy, part of a push, again, to hire 10,000 pilots by 2030. As more of its aviators reach the federally mandated retirement age of 65. I did not realize that pilots had to retire at 65, so I've learned something here. Apparently, United's flight school is meant to provide training for pilots with little or no experience. So I'd like to hear from some of you who might like to be an airline pilot. United said it wants to train 5,000 pilots, and as I said, aims half of them to be women and people of color, or women and or people of color. Just over 7% of United's 12,000 pilots today are women. 13% are people of color. So 20% of its 12,000 pilots, which is a fairly significant number. It's certainly not representative of the society at large. The first class of 20 pilots, 20, that doesn't sound like a lot, will begin in the third quarter of this year, which would be July, August, September, with the graduation date sometime in the first half of 2022. So I just want to, it's been a long time since most of us have flown on an airplane. I know that there are people out there who are still flying fairly regularly, but I want to ask you if you do the same thing that I do. You get on a plane, you walk down the jetway, and you make that little turn. Generally, it's a left-hand turn, and the flight attendant is waiting there to greet you as people are, kind of the line is slowed down. And as you step from the jetway, across and onto the plane, here's what I do, and I'd love to know if you do the same thing. I always look to the flight deck. Now, again, as I said earlier, it's been called the cockpit. It's not that anymore. So the flight deck. I always look to the flight deck. And I don't care what racial background the pilot is. I don't even care if the pilot is male or female. The only thing I want to see is someone who looks to me to be at least like 40 or 45 years of age. Because I can't imagine that in this day and age, you can become a pilot at the age of 25 and all of a sudden be given the top seat, the pilot seat, not the co-pilot seat, on a commercial jetliner. So I just would love to know if I do that. And I know why I do it, but I don't know why I do it. I know I do it because if I look there and I see that the person is 40 or 45, I make an assumption, and the assumption that I make is, well, they probably were trained in the military because they've been in the military for 20 or so years. I mean, I don't want to see a pilot who's under the age of 40. Now, if I'm wrong, I'd love to hear from you. If you think that is ageist, I want to see older pilots. I did not realize pilots retire or are forced to retire at the age of 65. I think that's kind of funny. We can have people in the U.S. Supreme Court until they die making really important decisions, but we're kicking people in this day and age. There are a lot of pilots who would be over the age of 65 who would be in really good shape when you think about it. So what I want to do is I just want to open up the phone lines. I want to lighten it up a little bit. I think maybe tonight we were too serious, and maybe some of you just didn't want to talk about serious subjects. So This is a serious subject. Should there be a greater diversity amongst airline pilots? Yeah, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, I want them all to be really qualified. I want them all to be like Sully Sullenberger, the pilot that that guided that plane. You know, it's 10 years ago at least. Maybe it's more than that, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. Maybe it was January of 2009, I think, when the plane landed on the Hudson. No one died. Remember that? I want experienced pilots on commercial planes. It's as simple as that. I'm not a great flyer. I'd love to know if you do the same thing. If you cheat, do you look or do you just say hi to the stewardess and go to the right? It's not what I do. I take a quick look, and I'm looking to see who's on the flight deck. So let's have a little fun with it. I just want pilots to be experienced. That's all. I could care less what their color is. I could care less what their gender is. I want them to fly the plane safely. I got to tell you, I'm still someone, I've flown a lot in my life. Maybe not as much as you, but I've flown a lot. Flown to a lot of places. I still get nervous taking off and landing. I still bless myself when I take off and land. Because it's, you know what I'm saying. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Look at these. The lines are full with guys right now, which is great. Ladies, 617-931-1030. Ladies, would you like to be an airline pilot? And particularly if you're young, if you're in your 20s, this is a great opportunity. We're going to start off with Christine in Winthrop. Christine, thanks for calling in. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm just doing great.
Are you ready to become a pilot?
No. I don't care about the gender. I don't care about the race. But I want someone who is in the military flying.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I care about.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Yeah. I mean, and do you look, when you get on a plane, do you kind of take a peek into the flight deck?
No, never, because I always have confidence.
Oh, I don't have confidence. I'm always assuming that. No, 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 no. I assume that, oh, no, no. There's, I want to make sure. I just want to give a look at them, that's all. And it's when the plane lands and you're getting off, and then generally they're standing, the pilots are standing by the door. If they've landed safely, I always want to say to them, hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for getting us home on time. I really believe that, you know.
Well, Jim, where I live, planes come in to land.
Yeah.
So I look at them.
Right. Oh, over Winthrop, every time you come in over Winthrop, I don't know how you stand it out there. Do they ever change?
I grew up here.
Do they ever change the do they ever change the flight pattern or no?
I have no idea.
No, what I'm saying is it every day?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's tough. That's tough.
I say a prayer every time I see a plane.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm looking out the window. I'm looking at the ground, and I look for the end of the runway. I'm a nervous flyer, even to this time. Though I remember flying to Europe a couple of times when I was working in TV, and the flight attendants invited me to go up and sit up on the flight deck with the captain and the flight attendant.
That
it was unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah. Flying over the Atlantic at night, and you're looking down, and it's nothing but you see every once in a while a ship or something. But it was an amazing experience. Now, of course, that will never happen again. But I actually experienced it. I'm telling you, it was great when as they say, it was great while it lasted. Simple as that.
You're right, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Christine. We'll talk soon. Thanks for getting us going here, okay?
Okay, thank you, Dan. Good
talk
night.
Talk to you soon. Good night. Let me go to Sean in Rhode Island. Sean, next on Nightside. Are you a nervous flyer or do you care?
No, actually, I don't care because I've flown all my life since I was a little kid. Actually, I feel safer flying than I do on my ride over to the airport in Providence.
Do you really?
But I noticed, Every time I get on the plane, usually I take a, I fly about once a month. Usually I take a, the earliest flight, either on, you know, any airline, usually Southwest or JetBlue or whatever, because I'm going to Lauderdale. And usually the pilot's usually there, you know, there to greet you, along with the flight attendant sometimes.
Oh, yeah, oh, the early ones? Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, they're you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I've never really, never even thought of gender or race or anything. I just, you know, I've got to say, I like them, I'm about 52. I like them about my age or a little bit older.
You like 52. Okay, yeah. I mean, I just want to make sure. I mean, there was a time, you know, when I was flying in the 70s and 80s, and you assumed that these guys were all retired Air Force guys.
Well, I thought you had to. Well, here's the thing. I thought the only way you could get enough flight hours is to be in the military. I didn't know you could do it any other way, so I thought most of these guys were retired military anyway.
I think there was a time when that was true. But I think that that time has passed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think you're right, to be honest with you, because the military's gotten a lot smaller. But, I mean, I live right under the flight path of the airport, too, and I've seen the last few years that there's a lot more air traffic, and I'm like, God, if they mess up, I could end up in, you know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. No, I hear you. I don't like takeoffs and I don't like landings. And I don't like takeoffs and I don't like landings in bad weather.
Well, here's the thing. I used to live in Fort Lauderdale. And when I was a 16-year-old kid, I was supposed to get on a flight to Phoenix, Arizona with a stopover in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah.
I had an earache that day. I had to cancel the flight. The flight from Fort Lauderdale to Dallas crashed in a downdraft on final descent into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. That was a flight I was supposed to be on.
I think I remember that flight. I think it was wind shear.
Yeah. Yes. We didn't know much about it, but so 2 days later, I went, you know, over to Arizona, and you know what? I figured, thank God for that earache. But I'll tell you that.
sometimes things work in mysterious ways, but
yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, yeah, yes. We've all had bad flights, we've all had turbulence, but I'll tell you, it's so important to me when I'm on that plane. I'm one of those guys, I check where are the exits. I mean, I take that stuff pretty seriously.
I always look at that. I always try to keep it, you know, sometimes, you know, I try to fall asleep, but then I realize maybe this isn't the best idea, you know.
Well, there was a time when flying was really something special. Back in the 70s, you put on you wore a jacket and tie and all of that. Now it's like bus travel. I mean, I don't think it'll ever get back to that. Sean, as always, thanks much. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great night.
You talk to you soon. Bye. Good night. All right, got a couple open lines. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. The question is, do you care what the background of the pilot is? I really don't. I just want to make sure that the pilots are competent. There have been stories over time about, you know, pilots who have landed at the wrong airport. I don't know how that can happen, but I guess it does. I mean, we're talking about big planes. You know, some plane was supposed to land in Omaha, landed in Lincoln, Nebraska. You hear these, I'm just using that as an example. I just don't know how that can happen. But I want to know what sort of a flyer you are, and do you care? Do you care? United Airlines wants to have 50% of its pilots being either people of color and or female by 2030. I guess that is their goal. I think it's admirable, but I think, again, that whoever gets hired should be equally qualified. Simple as that. Well, what they're saying is, let me strike that. United Airlines says 50% of the next 5,000 pilots they train will be black women or people of color. I don't know if that's true. I think they're talking about will be women or people of color. I think that's a misstated headline. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Let me go next to George in Rhode Island. George, thanks for calling in. Rhode Island calls back to back, George. You got to love that. Go right ahead, George.
Yeah, how you doing, Dan? Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, absolutely. I haven't talked to you in a while. Where you been?
bouncing around.
All right. Everything well? Is everything well with you, I hope?
I had a tough winter there. I don't want to spend too much time talking about a wicked reaction to the flu shot.
Ooh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Real bad. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. You and I, we wouldn't get along on a plane. I think the best part of the ride is taking off and landing. So it's not like going down the runway to a couple hundred mile an hour, 180 mile an hour to get it going.
Oh, no, but I'm always thinking when we hit, come on, get this thing up. I never want to run out of runway, you know what I'm saying?
I've a friend of mine played pro ball, and he used to tell me that what they told you was once you get off the ground, count 10 back to zero. And usually if you've got that far, usually you're safe, something's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Look, we've been very lucky when you think about all of these professional sports teams.
Right.
That fly so often, right. And then particularly in the wintertime, the basketball teams. Have been some. I remember I was told a story about at that time, I think it was the Minneapolis Lakers. They actually landed their plane in a cornfield in the late 50s, and there were some great players on that team. And they landed that plane, the pilots, and I got to go back and double check the time. They said that poor Elgin Baylor was curled up in the fetal position in the back of the plane. They knew they were in trouble, and they had to put it down at a cornfield. Thank God they got it down, and no one was badly hurt. So there have been, of course, other professional athletes who passed away much too soon because of plane crashes. Rocky Marciano, among others.
Yep. I had two incidences with the planes. Both going to Vegas. First one was we were leaving Boston around 6 in the morning.
Yep.
They pushed the plane out. He starts to taxi down, and he says, sorry, folks, we got to go back. He forgot to fire up one of the engines. So I'm thinking, what the hell was he doing last night?
Yeah.
Then another ride, we're on a final approach going into Vegas. I don't know if you've probably been there. You go down to the Valley of Mountains. We're on our final approach. We got the big plane. We got the big screen watching. There was another plane on the ground on the same runway. He aborted his run. He aborted his takeoff.
Yeah.
You get a corkscrew your way out of there.
I had one of those coming back from Ireland when I was working in TV. We're coming in, and the pilot gets on, and he says something like, "Well, folks, my co-pilot is going to take over the controls for a landing. A beautiful day here in Logan Airport." And the guy's name was, this will be his first solo landing. So sit back and relax as we're coming in. He gets, he pulls it up out of the way. There was another plane in the runway. Son of a gun pulled it up and flew around. So that was one that I'll always remember.
Have you ever flown in the little planes?
Many times.
Yeah, so it's like
four-seater
or whatever.
Well, also, George, helicopters. We used to fly in helicopters a lot. I didn't like...
Yeah, I know that. I used to take lessons for the little planes. They're cool. I go on scenic trips right now. I talk to the pilot and tell them how much I know, what we do know, and they pretty much say, hey, you can take it off and do what you got to do.
You know, no, thanks. Let me get back to my seat and get a drink. Hey, George, great to hear your voice. It's been a couple of years. Keep in touch, will you, my friend?
Appreciate that. Great.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yep. You know, one of the things as a talk show host, I remember voices, and I can remember names and locations. And George is a very regular caller who I haven't heard from in a couple of years, and it's great to know because when all of a sudden someone who's a regular caller you haven't heard, you think, gee, I hope nothing bad happened to them. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Pilots, United Airlines wants to hire pilots of people of color and women. I'm okay. I'm down with that. As long as they are qualified, that's all I care. It's as simple as that. And again, when I get on a plane, I look out as I'm getting on, saying hi to the flight attendant. Oh, hi, how are you today? I'm looking to the left of the flight deck, and I'm hoping I'm going to see somebody who's at least 45 or 50 who's wearing the captain's uniform. Right back to the phones we go. Going to go to Lori in Montana. Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well. We had sideward snow today, but we won't talk about that.
Did you really? How would you say, 5 inches of snow?
No, sideward snow. No, it didn't build up, but it was winds and, you know, blowing horizontally across the windows. And
what was the adjective used? I heard the word snow, but what was the adjective?
sideways, sideways.
Oh, sideways, sideways. Gotcha. Okay, sideways. Okay. Yeah, sideways snow. Oh, okay. So, but nothing. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for the year, right? Nothing more, I hope.
Oh, no. I'm not confident in that at all. But anyway, your topic of tonight, which got me to call, is we have a neighbor up here who was a pilot for the Flying Tigers. Way back when, he was one of the first pilots to fly the 747s. He loved them. It was his life. And I mean, he's an amazing guy. He's the retired old guy up the hill there. But they made him retire at 65.
And how old is that gentleman now?
75.
Okay, so the Flying Tigers.
Started way early. Yeah, that was his first job.
Okay, and was that the like the Korean War? I'm trying to figure the time. No, it couldn't have been the Korean War. Vietnam?
Thereabouts. You know, I don't know the exact.
Okay.
Exact, but I knew he did that because they have all sorts.
And he flew for one of the major airlines, I assume.
No, he flew for FedEx actually.
Really?
He did the 747 FedEx cargo.
Whoa, okay.
And then they made him retire at 65, and
you know,
he wasn't ready to retire.
Whenever
I understand that. I do understand how they do that. But
yeah, but when you talk about flying a plane for FedEx, I think about the movie Tom Hanks with when he crashed. Remember that? That was a pretty good movie.
Mr. Crawford would laugh at that.
No, that was a pretty good movie. Remember when he shows up and the girlfriend and, you know, he was still there?
Yeah, no, I do.
I like that movie. I did like that movie.
It was funny.
So are you?
My initial call, but I am with you. I get onto a plane and I check out the flight deck and I like them to be older rather than younger. And if United is going to train all these other people, well, bring in all those people, but they better be ready to fly if they get out. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've had a few incidents, and I will tell you this story, and maybe some of my listeners have heard it before, and this is a true story. The day after Ronald Reagan bombed Gaddafi, do you remember that in the 1980s?
Yes.
Reagan hit Gaddafi's tent. And our planes could not fly over France. They had to go around airspace, and they hit Gaddafi. And I think what had prompted that was that there had been an attack on an American a nightclub in Berlin that took the lives of some U.S. service personnel.
Right.
And so Reagan retaliated. So the next day we're flying to Washington to cover the story. It's a pretty big story. We leave Boston at, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning. And we're out probably, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, and the pilot gets on and he says in a typical pilot voice, "Well, everybody, we got a little bit of a light up here on the dashboard and we could fly to Washington, but I think we're just going to turn this baby around and head back to Boston, get this light bulb fixed, and we'll be back up in there in a few minutes. In the meantime, please stay in your seats with your seats buckled." Well, the plane drops to sea level and we're coming back into Boston and it's hauling. I look back at the flight attendants, and they are all they got the white knuckle thing going on. And at that point, I knew there was a problem. As it turned out, there was a Middle Eastern woman who apparently had put baggage on the plane. But when they did the count, the passenger count, it didn't reconcile. So they were concerned about a bomb, and we were at sea level.
Oh man!
So we're flying in. We hit the end of Logan Airport. Which is really cold. It's way out. It's
not
April.
Not the wall built a hit way back when. But yes.
No. I remember that one very well. That was the Northeast. I know. And that was everybody died in that. There was one kid who was in the military who lingered for several days, and he passed. Wow. Anyway, I've always watched. Oh, believe me, I watched the wall. So we hit. We land. We come to a screeching halt. They got fire trucks everywhere. They got the guys in the aluminum suits, and they tell us, "Everybody off the plane. Leave your stuff on the plane. Don't take your bags. Get off the back of the plane." So we're all, you know, happy to get off the plane. I'm standing with Barney Frank. I don't know if you remember Barney, but was a U.S. congressman.
I know Barney. Yes, I remember Barney Frank.
Many years, okay? And Barney always had a different way of looking at things. So as I'm
yes,
as we're
did.
being push back. Barney's kind of chatting in my ear, and he will probably remember this story. He said to me, this would have been terrible, Dan. This would have been terrible. And I said, yeah, Barney, I get it. It would have been terrible. He said, no, 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 you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, if the plane crashed, it would have been. He says, no, no, no. If the plane crashed, look who's coming off. The last guy off the plane was Patrick Ewing, the basketball player. Barney says to me, they never would have even mentioned us. He would have been the headline. And he was half serious, Laurie. We did a noontime live shot on the plane. We got up, back on the plane, and we were in Washington by 2:30 that afternoon. True story.
That's an awesome story. Yeah, plane flight, I've been flying since I was 2 years old, and yeah, there's always something fun. But that rocks.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, and I can tell it with a few words I can't say in the radio, which, and a couple of beers, which makes it even a funnier story.
Well, yeah.
Okay. If I ever meet you, I'll tell you that story, the unexpurgated version. Laurie, thank you much. Well, we'll talk soon, okay?
Good night, Dan. Thank you.
I love hearing your voice, and it's great to know you're listening to Montana. Thank you very much. We have a great audience, and Laurie's one of the most important listeners for me. We've had some of my important people stop by tonight. Hank from New Jersey, Clark from Pennsylvania, Laurie from Montana. I mean, not every caller is important. Every caller is important, but those are ones that stand out. Now, I got a couple of open lines. I want to hear your plane story. But the question is, I want to know, when you get on a plane, do you kind of look to the left and check out the flight deck? I do it all the time. United Airlines is going to train about 5,000 pilots. They say half of them are going to be women and or people of color. So the flight decks are going to look a little bit different, you know, 5-10 years from now or a few years from now. And that's fine. All I want them to be is good pilots, safe pilots, okay? And I'd love to hear your stories. Joe and Lynn. Hey, Joe, welcome. Next on Nightside. Thanks for calling in.
Hey,
how
Dan.
Are you?
How you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Everything okay, I hope? Everything going well?
Yep, I still have this cough, and now I have a sore right elbow. I've got to get it x-rayed. I don't know what's wrong. It hurts like the devil when I move it sometimes.
Now, you said you got a cough. Have you been...
I had COVID last year. Remember I told you?
Right. So you have. It's been that long, huh? Wow.
Yeah, and I don't take vaccines. You know me. I've sent you some articles.
Yep,
but that's
yep,
the way
I
it
know
is.
That, yeah.
We just have different opinions. That's okay. It's
that's
good to agree and disagree.
That. Sure, yeah, okay.
Have a spirited discussion. My brother's a pilot. Okay, and they're supposed to fly by instruments in bad weather. Now, there is something else I don't know whether you heard of. It's called the VOIC. The sensory, it's a revolution in sensory. A blind person actually flew a simulator. It picks up objects. It uses sound waves. They're
okay.
Coming out with it all new. But planes, I think I like the smaller planes, like 100 passenger, the Embraer. I don't like the 300 people. That's too big. But these people need to be qualified. And what I don't like is that captain said there was a light on. All he had to do was say, ladies and gentlemen, we have a baggage which doesn't match up to the passengers. We're going back. You know, I don't like it when they couch these things and afraid to just speak up, you know. I mean, you're paying for what you're getting, you know. But flying is not as good as it used to be, except in very few airlines. Like, I've just found out that Qatar Airlines and Air Emirates is one of the better airlines.
Yeah, I've never flown either of those, never been in that part of the world, and frankly, to be honest with you, they're not particularly interested. But,
I know.
You know.
You fly by instruments when you fly, or satellite when you fly to the Atlantic. When I went to Lourdes, and their night flights, and I wish they were leave early in the morning so you could get there for dinner, but that's how they fly. My brother.
Yeah, you know, they leave... Go into Europe out of Boston. It's always going to be a night flight. They all go out of there 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night, and you wake up in the morning, and you're in London or Paris or wherever.
Yeah. But I can't sleep too much on the plane. But the girls are pretty nice, and it was a pleasant flight. But I just prefer the smaller planes. It's called Ember. I like it. It's a turbo engine. It has 100 passengers, and you don't even hear the engines. You just hear air. But all flying should be done by instruments.
All right.
In good weather, they land. And so don't be nervous. It does happen. Things happen. But I hope these new pilots are qualified.
I'm sure they will be. I sure hope they are.
My brother's been flying for 30 years, even though we're estranged. he is he works for Continental, and you know they make good money. It's too bad.
They sure do. Hey Joe, I got to run. I got full lines. I got a couple, three
right,
more. I got
to
get in.
Friend.
Thanks so much.
I'll
I hope you feel better. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, God bless. Bye bye.
Right back at you. Ed is in Marshfield. Ed, you're next on Nightside. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your? You take a little peek into the flight deck when you walk in.
I actually work for United Airlines, and I used to fuel the aircraft, and I'd talk to the pilots all the time because you'd have to bring the fuel sheet up to them, and they'd have to, you know, check the fuel load that you loaded and make sure the math is correct.
Sure.
That type of thing. So we had a lot of, you know, short conversations and that type of thing. And I know United had a big push back in the late 90s. To try to get more female pilots. And I think the hours were lowered for the females.
So most of the pilots, decent people, that they treat you respectfully? I hope that they...
Yeah, for the most part. You know, people are people. Sometimes you say, I can't believe that guy's flying today. You know, but, you know, that's, you know, one out of a very many, you know.
All right.
I get a, you know, I know you like hockey and everything. We had a charter for the Bruins going to Chicago when they played Chicago here, and they had a Donnybrook of a game.
Yeah.
And the Chicago charter for another airline, they couldn't find pilots because, you know, it's tough to schedule the charters for
right.
sports teams. And so they had to put the Blackhawks and the Bruins on the same plane to play the next day on a home plane. They had a bunch of fights in Boston and going back to Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, though, when the game's over, they put it.
A lot of
friends of mine who played, and they said, hey, it's part of the job. It's just part of the job. And a lot of guys become great friends, you know? I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean,
yeah, they have the NHL approves that. To those two teams to fly together.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. Ed, I got three more I'm going to try to sneak
right,
in.
Dan,
great to hear your voice. Thanks, my friend. Talk
Thanks.
To you. All right, we're going to get everybody in. Lauro and Lynn. Lauro, you're next on Nightside. Two from Lynn tonight. Lauro, go right ahead.
Hey, Dan, I wish you true happiness, and I wish your listeners true happiness, as well as Jenny from Weymouth. And, yeah, so I totally agree with you. As long as they know how to fly the plane, that's all I care about. And the last time when I was on a plane was about 2 years ago. I went to Cincinnati, and one thing I did, I'm going to maybe advise you since we're both radio persons, because I also work in a radio station myself.
Yep.
But I've been furloughed for the last year.
Okay.
So what I did on my last flight, I brought my my MP3 player, which has a radio.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the radio, like, considering how far up the airplane is, you know, like when they go up
30,000 feet.
And considering how far out you are, like I want to say maybe like example, like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm assuming it's probably like around Worcester or something.
Right.
I still got most Boston radio stations like clear, crystal.
Well,
clear.
I hope you got WBZ.
Unfortunately, it always has FM on that.
I got you. Okay, well, we would have been there. It's good you got FM at that distance. That's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's probably. I was probably like 15 minutes like into the flight. Maybe like I'm assuming maybe like Worcester.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
further.
That's probably. I'd guess that. Yeah. You know, or over Providence or something like that. Yeah. Hey, Laura, I got two more. I want to try to sneak in. Call me early, and I'll give you more time. Okay.
All righty, take care. Wish you true happiness.
You too, Laura. Right back at you. Have a great night. Okay, I got two from New York. Chuck from New York. Chuck, I got room for you and room for Marge. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Chuck.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you.
I agree with you. Good, good. Everything is going well. A couple of stories. Do you remember, maybe 20 years ago when the earlier when the Concorde was, they were flying the Concorde.
Yeah.
This woman pilot, she took off and she said in an interview that she took the plane up and she rotated it in the ear. Just did a flip with that big sucker plane.
I don't remember that, and I'll tell you, I can't imagine they'd let it fly that one again.
Yeah.
I don't. Wow.
Also,
yeah.
Yeah, and also, if I had left the boot camp like a week later, I would have had the privilege of flying onto the aircraft carrier. But I guess it wasn't my – I didn't have the luck.
Yeah, no, also, I hear you. I hear you on that one, yeah.
And then also one year when we were coming out of Mayport, Florida, we must have been close to Massachusetts because we were up in a gun mount. And we picked up WBZ.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Chuck, I want to get one more in here before I got to check off for the night. Great to hear your voice. Enjoyed the stories. Bye. Thank you much.
Okay.
Have a great one. Good night. Let's go to Marge. Marge, I got about a minute for you. I'm sorry. What can you do with it?
Very concise. Mohawk Airlines.
I remember
19-
Mohawk Airlines. I flew the
DC-3s. Flew into Syracuse regularly. Land. The door is frozen shut.
Yeah.
They're all up there outside trying to open the door. It's frozen shut. I don't remember how they finally got it open. Second memory of Mohawk, they got on the plane and they said, "We're overweight." And they walked up and down the aisles and they picked out people to get off the plane so they wouldn't be overweight.
They couldn't
Thank
do
you.
That today. People would be claiming weight discrimination or something like that. Can you imagine if they did that today?
I assume loved Mohawk. They took off. Nobody would take off in the middle of a blizzard. Those DC-3s would take off.
Marge, I love the story. Where in New York are you located tonight? Where are you?
Woodstock.
Good for you. Thanks. Hey, call again. I enjoyed your conversation. Have you called before?
No.
Well, this is a round of applause for you as a first-time caller, Marge. Thank you very much. I hope you call back soon, okay? Have a great
Thank
night.
You.
Good night. We're done for the night, everybody. An interesting night, that is for sure, from Tom Hodgson to airplane stories. Back tomorrow night, everybody. Going to talk about fake news with an MIT researcher tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Please join us then. Want to thank Nancy and Marita and Karen, of course, the great Rob Brooks, and all of you listeners and particularly callers. My name's Dan Ray. I'll end as always. All dogs, all cats, all pets go to heaven. That's my pal Charlie Reyes, who passed 11 years ago in February. That's where all your pets are passed. They loved you and you loved them. I do believe you'll see them again. Hope to see you again tomorrow night and night side. Have a great Friday, everybody.